The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is your space to explore mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
This feeling that I've been here before. I got this feeling that I've been here before.
Hello, welcome to We Know's Parenting. Peter McNerney here.
Beth Newell here.
Ready to talk to you and each other. Mostly each other.
No, and them.
I mean,
they're a big part of this. They keep
100%.
100% keep this going.
But if I'm being literable,
insane if we were just doing this out of some desire to talk to each other.
That's why I do this, to talk to you. And I want to acknowledge that I said literable.
The wild thing about this show is, if it were not for this show, we literally just would not talk to each other like this ever.
It is incredibly
We would have
healthy.
To literally set a meeting date. Like,
yeah, whenever this show ends, we'll have to just keep doing this. Just not recording.
Someone in my mom group was posting about how they were like, literally, they set like an all hands meeting, like a weekly meeting with their husband. It's just like, because they're just like, they literally have to go over the same logistics that we end up debating on the show week after week, which is just like,
I buy it.
How do you manage the business of a household?
Yeah, I mean, we are both like figuring things out that need to happen around here, and sometimes we tell each other and sometimes we don't, and there's sometimes when there's issues, it's because, well, we just didn't have that time, and this has helped me.
Yeah, you know, what was wild about yesterday is I was out of town all weekend. I came home.
Mm-hmm.
I was with the kids for an hour, and then my sister came to watch them because I had an event to go to. So I was gone pretty much all, like, every second of the weekend.
Yeah.
And then I came home, and the apartment was just so trashed. And it was weirdly refreshing because my sister, you know, took care of the kids. I didn't have to.
Yeah.
And she actively played with them, took them outside, got them dirty, got them a bath.
Yeah.
And then the whole apartment was just like trashed, like every inch.
Yeah.
And it made me feel better because I was like, okay, if she's watching them and she has the energy of a person who's not with them every single day, and this is still what they've done to her by the end of the day, I'm like, we're not crazy for thinking this is really exhausting, you know?
No. I've started to institute cleanup with them. They have to help.
Just for the record, my sister did then help me clean up the whole apartment, and she was really nice.
She gives far more than she gets.
No, she gets very little in comparison.
She gets the joy of our children. Their love of her.
I do now try to remember to give her money for food and stuff, like, if I'm gone, because I'm like, okay, I can't have her come here as like someone who's 5 years younger than me. I can't have her come over here and then like spend $60 on my kids just to like get through the day and
tolls and gas
and tolls and gas and yeah.
Yeah, I do my best to do a big pickup at least, you know, dishes and trash all, before I go to bed or first thing in the morning. And that's exactly the two times when it's hardest to get yourself to do something like that.
Right.
I find. But boy.
I've been finding myself doing it a little more in the mornings now where I'm sort of like trying to make myself chill out and be like, hey, if you miss your train, it'll be fine. You'll just do a little work on the train. Like, I don't need to, like, be in constant panic mode.
Yeah.
Which is hard because it's just, you know, we've said this before, but parenting starts out, like, the most stressful thing in your, like, you've ever experienced. And yeah, it's hard to come down from that and remind yourself that it's, like, getting a little easier.
It's getting so much easier. So tonight, I'm going to adjust my chair, right? It's going to be really loud. Ready for this?
If you don't edit that moment out, I'm going to freaking kill you.
You're not going to listen. You have no idea. Have you ever listened to an episode of our show?
I don't think I have. I don't. Someone was.
I mean, it doesn't make any sense for you to listen.
It would be to no one's benefit for me to re-listen to my voice and think about how much I loathe every second of it.
Oh, But you know how much my mother loves your voice. She keeps saying, "When Beth needs to be on the radio." Or not radio.
I have no
commercials.
I'm
like, pretty sure Beth has no interest.
I don't think my voice is that great. But I also have like voice dysmorphia. Like you could tell me anything about my voice. There's no way I would know. Like I don't.
I mean, it does sound like a butt. No, it's beautiful. You sound cool. Do I sound cool? So this week, Bryn pulled the fire alarm.
Oh, yeah. That's the cool. The big news.
I go to pick him up for after school. And so the first week, it was like day three. The guy there very politely had to tell me that there was three or four incidents. And I saw them written on a piece of paper where Bryn was too rough or hit. I think one time the word punched was written on there.
Yeah.
Other kids, which is not something he's ever done.
I mean, he's gotten rough at daycare. They just don't document it there because there's a lot of like 2-year-olds and 3-year-olds and it's just constant pushing. Like it's.
But it's like he's not punching people. Anyway.
I think after school is just coming down hard at the beginning of the year to really like get it, rein it in, which I appreciate. Like they're just like, we're making note.
He was
everything.
Very nice about it. He showed
yeah,
me
they
the
don't.
Notes.
I don't think they actually care. They're just like running a tight ship.
It's like I thought you should know. So Bryn and I had a pretty serious talk, and Bryn realizing that things would be communicated to me and I would learn about them. He was wide eyed, like oh shit, and there has not been any incidents.
Well, let's talk about the fire alarm.
Until last week. And I showed up and apparently Bryn pulled the fire alarm and the fire department came.
Luckily after school, so they didn't have to empty the entire school of children.
So what happened? I got a lot of conflicting information. So the guy hadn't even talked to Bryn about it yet when I showed up. So he had to pull Bryn aside to have his chat. And while he was doing that, I talked to this woman and she said, Bryn said somebody told him to do it. And then he went away and then he came back later and said, actually, I didn't do it. And so lies, all lies. And then I went
and
home.
And he's such a wonderful liar. Yeah. So I mean, hard to see through.
He did not know what a fire alarm was. We've never talked about it. Maybe we should have.
Well, I was talking about it with our neighbor, another mom, and it was like, it seems like the most fascinating thing you could put in front of a 5-year-old who watches like nonstop cartoons and Transformers and stuff, like a lever
it
right on the wall.
It does look like Optimus Prime.
It's like, it's begging to be pulled.
I remember somebody pulled a fire alarm when I was in elementary school and there were rumors about who it was, but it was a fucking scandal.
Well, I think this whole situation is very funny because I do think like, no one's actually mad. They're just like, this is a 5-year-old who doesn't know what he's doing. But I think it is like in a weird way making everyone get their ducks in a row where they're like, okay, so actually we have to remember to tell the kids not to do stuff like that. And you know, like we have to keep an eye on the 5-year-olds. Like,
yeah. So I went home and talked to Bryn about it, and we had a theory that an older kid he knows from our building who does after school with him.
I had a theory
that because Bryn said somebody told him to do it.
Yeah, and then I was like, well, because I only know like 2 kids over there, and I was like, if it's one of those kids,
and you picked the more likely of the two,
the more what?
The more likely.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he's like older and he likes explaining things and like, you know, I don't know.
Is another 5-year-old going to be like, hey, Bryn, go pull that? So I wrote to the guy because we were going to have to do a late pickup. So I was writing to him anyway. And I was like, should I mention this?
I thought it was worth mentioning in passing just to be like, hey, like we know this kid. He's a neighbor. And like also it was kind of coupled with the foreskin incident where I was like, it feels like maybe an older kid is like giving Bryn like bad information. Like, I don't know.
So I very diplomatically was like, Bryn said this, but I very likely may have put this idea in his head and he just agreed to it. Because I asked Bryn, like, did this person tell you? And he's like, yes. So we talked for a long time. I was like, you don't have to listen to him. And later I found out that kid wasn't even there. So Bryn let me lecture him about this kid who did nothing wrong for 20 minutes.
This poor kid.
And now I love this kid because he did not.
Yeah, we know he didn't do it. That makes me actually more glad we brought it up just to be like, oh, okay, it's not that. Like, now we know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was. It's just so funny to me that he's going to be the kid that pulled the fire alarm for like the rest of his
life. I'll never forget who that kid was who pulled the fire alarm when I was in school.
Was it you, absentmindedly?
Actually, I have no idea who it was. Maybe it was me. Could have been me.
It could have been you.
No, I was so afraid. I mean, I did absentminded dumb things.
I did absentminded.
But I was terrified of breaking rules.
I can't remember if I've told the story on the show, but there was one time when I had the elementary school right behind my house, and me and my friends went over there to like look in our former classroom windows and just like wander.
Yeah,
we were just a lot of like wandering kids in the neighborhood, and I like absentmindedly started tugging on this like thread on the screen and started pulling the screen off the window, and this woman. I guess the principal at the time was like maybe rumored to be like living out of her office. It was like a Saturday, and she like saw what I was doing, and she like as we were walking around the school, she pulled her car up onto the grass like movie style. Like she was like she drove way up onto the grass to like cut us off
on the ground now.
And she was like. And then, I don't remember what she asked, but it was one of those things. She's like, what are your names? What are you doing? And then she called the police on us, and then they showed up, and they were like, yeah, you shouldn't do that.
She called the police?
Yeah, yeah. She made us. It was funny.
She sounds like a real winner.
Yeah.
I yelled at some kids.
Today? Where? Who? What are you talking about?
Fast forward a few days after the fire alarm. Bryn's friend from across the hall, who was born just a month after him, had his 5th birthday. This is while you were gone. We had a very fun 5-year-old birthday party on the playground of our building. And so we go down there. It's over in the grassy area. And it was a really simple, great party. Fried chicken. And she bought these like tiny off-brand Lego kits. So everyone sat down for a quick activity where everyone built a Lego thing. Bryn finished first, and he was like the impressive Lego kid, and all the other kids couldn't figure it out quickly or at all.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, my kid's the best. And then they brought out a cart of balls, and Bryn was by far the worst at catching, throwing. He is miserable.
Our kids really are the worst. Actually, Maven's a little more focused on it when she has the opportunity. We just never present our kids with athletic activities.
Boy, I was playing catch by that age for sure. And Bryn, I'm like, move your hand to where the ball is.
Yeah, we're terrible at it. We have not worked on it
They had the Velcro paddles. So you throw the Velcro ball and it hits the paddle.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is the best. It's the easiest catch in the world. Bryn, he's rough. After the whole Lego championship, I'm like, all right, we're all smart in different ways. But during this, we heard this clang, 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 clang. And I was like, what the hell was that, like, scary sound? And that happened again and again. And we went up, and on the playground were these two older kids. You know that, you know that kid who, I don't want to, this is not like a body shaming thing, but there's a kid who is perfectly round. He has a jack-o'-lantern head. Do you know this kid?
You're talking about the kid who lives in our...
Yeah. Yeah. He is a perfectly spherical
He walks with his hips forward, very proud. Like, he's like a really...
He's the funniest.
The funniest, like, most confident little kid.
He's like such a New York... I remember when he was really little, I was on the playground. And he walks waddling up. He's got that, like, that, like, furrowed brow. And he walks straight up to me and goes, I got a question for you. Yankees or Mets? And I go, actually, I'm a Cubs fan. And he goes, okay, okay. And this kid was Wait, 6 years old at
so
the time.
My friend, my childless friend was just telling me a story like this where she was in the park in Brooklyn just trying to, like, lay out in the sun on the weekend or whatever. And, like, this kid, like, walked up to her. He's, like, I don't know, similar age, like 9 or something. And he was like, so what are you doing here? And like, he started a conversation like that where he's just interrogating her and then like asking her what her job is and stuff. And then he's like, he goes, let me know before you leave, okay? Like, he just wanted, he wanted her to come, like, check in with him before she left the park. He was like, definitely.
What park was this?
It was like a Brooklyn, like a Williamsburg, like, grassy park.
Anyway, that kid who is now older and goes to Bryn School was standing at the bottom of the twisty slide, and up at the top of the twisty slide was his seemingly older friend. And the kid at the bottom was trying to throw an aluminum baseball bat up to his friend, and, like, it kept not working, so it would clang down violently and loud and terrify all the 5-year-olds.
Oh, no.
And he did it like 4 times, and all the parents were like, this is awkward.
So you yelled at this kid?
I did not yell at him, but I went back. I went straight to my playground monitor mode when I went right up to them. Oh, and I was like, hey, guys, can we not throw the bat anymore? We're scaring these kids, and I don't want one of you to get hit with that bat. Okay? And then they didn't say anything, and I said, okay. And they go, yeah, sorry. I'm like, it's all right.
I've definitely done that to kids on the playground before where they're like sometimes some, like, you know, like, 4-year-old will come over and try to, like, mess with your 3-year-old or whatever age difference.
Oh, yeah.
And you just be like, hey, my son's a little bit younger than you, so he's a little bit sensitive to being poked in the face. Like you have to, like...
That's the appropriate way of saying, back the fuck up.
Just, like, well, because you know, you always know there's, like, there's parents nearby who are, like, just deciding not to, like, parent their kid or whatever. And you don't want to seem angry at their kid because they are just being a kid.
Yeah, our kid, but, like, I've got written up for hitting kids 4 times, so we're not judging.
Yeah, but you're like, you need to stop doing that.
Boy, you have 6 years as a playground monitor. I realize, like, that I got those skills. Boy, mean Mr. McNerdy was back, baby.
Mr. McNerdy.
That's what they called me.
Do you remember when I worked at the same school doing after-school monitoring, they called me the lioness?
Yeah, because you were cool and I was a big asshole. I'm sorry.
At the time, it felt pretty insulting, but, like, I could feel there was, like, a fear and a respect behind it.
So the best thing that ever happened to me was Tanner. Remember Tanner? He was one of the twins. He came up to me and he was, like, trying to figure out who's looking for somebody. He had some practical question. He goes, hey, Mr. McNerdy. And then he realizes what he had said and he goes wide-eyed and he goes, and I just put my hand on his shoulder and I go, yes, Tanner. That was a moment where I realized, oh, clearly that's what they all call me behind my back, which was exactly what everyone called me into my face when I was that age.
Well, okay.
Peter McNerdy.
So while we're on the topic, and I feel like we have to get into this, there was 2 twin boys at that school, middle school boys with blonde, like moppy hair.
Yeah, Tanner was one of them.
Yeah. And well, can you not give away all their personal details, these minors that we were in charge of supervising for our jobs?
They're literally not minors anymore.
I don't know about that. Anyway.
That's true. That's how old we are.
Okay. Well, anyway.
You know what? I want to contest. If you can find out who we're talking.
No.
It's not a joke. So
they were like always the troublemakers after school, and they had this one girlfriend that was sort of like shared between them, who was always trying to like
what
she had like I later found out that she had like dated one of them and then like broke his heart and then dated his twin brother, and like she clearly like she was like a little bit of an evil child, and she clearly like
these got, are like sixth graders
yeah these are like sixth graders but like seriously the most diabolical. Like plotting. I mean, the twin boys were just kind of dummies. Like they were her stooges, but she was like
they were real Zach and Cody.
They looked like Zach and Cody, and I had to call them out on it at one point. Like I was like, I can't hold this in any longer. You guys look exactly like Zach and Cody. And
they said, we remember that old show.
Yeah, but the girl would always be getting at least one of them to like sneak around the halls with her and be like, let's just sneak out of here. Like they were always trying to do what they shouldn't be doing. And all of us who worked after school were like, this is a city. Leave the school. Like just leave. They were like allowed to leave. And we were like, why are you not just leaving and getting into trouble away from here?
Well, they think they weren't allowed to leave by their parents.
Probably, but...
I ran the playground and then the inside, and then there was a silent study hall, and one or two kids would come. And I ran this pointless study hall for years before the new guy in charge was like, hey, sorry, we don't need this. And Siri, I'm not talking to you. Oh my gosh.
Wait, okay, we need to stop talking about this, our jobs.
Oh, Siri just apologized to me.
Okay.
I feel bad for yelling at her now.
We should probably not disclose any more of the history of our job.
Those kids are literally adults now.
Anyway,
so we read the, you know what book we read tonight?
What?
Where Did I Come From?
Yeah.
We talked about boobies. We talked about penises and vaginas. And we got into it.
Oh, did we talk about this about how... We were with our pregnant sister-in-law, and Bryn was like, so where on your skin is the baby going to come out of you?
Oh, yeah. And we all collectively went,
they're like, oh, talk about it. So tonight you explained it to him in detail.
Yes, I sure did. Well, it's one of those things where I'm very straightforward and literal, and I explain it to him because I just remember how warped my imagination of what like these kinds of books we're talking about were.
So better to just go into explicit detail so that they understand exactly why one of them was born in a car.
It was clear. They know now. But in that moment.
So they started asking you about your body, and then tonight you started showing them pictures of me pregnant up until the point where you started showing them photos of me in labor.
Yeah, it doesn't. Look like I was making a game out of it. I was like, oh, here's mommy. Look at her. She's like, Bryn, get out of my belly. And Bryn thought that was very funny. But that is what you look like.
Little does he know.
Little. He knows more than he did a few hours ago. So they kept wanting to, Maven kept wanting to look at my nipples. Just, let me see yours. I'm like, I don't know about this.
No, I think you should just show her.
I mean, I did, but there was suddenly a weird examination of daddy's body.
Well, Bryn lately, every once in a while, he'll like say something about boobies, and then he'll go to like honk my boobs to like point them out. He's like, you've got these things, these round things, or like he'll like just make some weird comment where, but like he thinks it's totally cool to just like go grab them and like while he's explaining.
Maven said to me, daddy has a flat chest. No, Bryn goes, daddy has a flat chest. And then Maven goes, mommy has a fat chest. And I laughed and said, that's true, comparatively.
That's right. I do.
I was going to say something creepy. I won't.
Thanks for being such a gentleman to me on this podcast.
Well, they told me that they I tried to explain to them. I was like, well, they're talking about breast milk. And I like really explained. I don't think they really understood. And I was like, yeah. And I talked about like cows and udders. And it's like the same thing. And they were like, cows have boobs? I'm like, sorta. And I was like, yeah. That, and I was like, mommy fed you breast milk. That's why you guys love her so much.
Yeah. You guys, nothing you loved more than sucking on those.
And they go, yeah, we do love mommy the most. And I go, hey. And then Marie goes, no, daddy, it's, we love you. It's just, we love mommy 100 and we love you 99.
That's fair.
And I was like, you know what? That's actually the best I could hope for.
And I think that's fair because you didn't do the extra credit and shoot him out of your vagina.
I didn't do that extra credit. extra credit if you shoot him out of your vagina.
You were sleeping that day, as I recall.
that's not true. When Brynn was born?
Well, you slept a lot. You slept through a lot of that test.
I just slept 0% while you were in labor.
With Brynn. With Maven, you slept through 90%.
Oh, yeah. It was a good move. I wouldn't have. We've been over this.
Yeah, you stand by your mistakes.
Yeah, just because you've talked about how nice it was to labor alone, so I figure I did you a favor. Anyway, that's been the week in review.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true. And I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things and thank you for overcoming them.
Thank God for deliverance.
Every time I have like one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is an NAACP and Webby Award-winning podcast dedicated to all things mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. Here, we have the conversations that help Black women decipher how their past inform who they are today and use that information to decide who they want to be moving forward. We chat about things like how to establish routines that center self-care, what burnout looks and feels like, and defining what aspects of our lives are making us happy and what parts are holding us back. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia. And I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
This next segment is called Would You Knows. It's where we ask each other hypothetical parenting situations.
All right. This comes to us from Anna, from a listener. Before I read this, I just remembered that at the birthday party that Bryn went to, there's a pinata, and there's all this candy, and Bryn got Skittles, and he got Nerds, and he had never seen them before. And later, I said to him, I was like, what did you love? He goes, my favorite part were probably the Skitters and Nerbs.
It's like something you'd make up, like Skitters and
Nerds. Skitters and Nerds.
It's like, it's a lot like in the movie They Came Together when he's like, oh, Burns and Nurbles.
You guys haven't seen they Came Together. They Come Together?
We just watched, just for a quick listener recommendation, we just watched the Zach Galifianakis Between Two Ferns movie, and it's very much a similar vibe of like,
it's the right
very dumb, wet, hot American summer. Like, it's so dumb.
All right, ready for this?
Yes.
All caps. Hi, Beth and Peter. Absolutely obsessed with you guys. This podcast. I've probably listened to each episode twice. LOL, smiley face. Heard you guys being praised on Los Culturistas and have been your biggest supporter ever since. If you've never listened to that show... Bone Yang, Matt Rogers.
Yeah, great. Very funny show. Check it out.
They're fantastic. And your kids are my favorite little humans ever. Oh, stop it. Thank you. Anywho, I have a simple hypothetical for you guys. Your kids are both teenagers in high school. You come home to hear that either one of your children are in their room talking and giggling with someone, and you do not recognize their voice. You barge in, and it's someone in which they are talking to from school, and you basically walk into them getting too close. What do you do? Again, love the podcast. You guys are awesome. Love Anna. First of all, can you guys hear the industrial train?
We live on by the tracks.
Around this time every night, there's one, like, extra long non-commercial train that just chugs on by.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. It's like if it was a subway system, I'd be like, that's the trash train.
Yeah,
but I don't know if Metro North has a trash train.
Well, they have they probably have exactly that,
the trash train.
It's a trash train, and it's still going right now. Anyway,
we drive our trash up north.
We send it to Old Greenwich, wherever that goes.
Old Greenwich.
That's why it's the old one, because it's full of garbage now. Never been. That was a joke, Old Greenwich. I'm sure it's great.
Old Greenwich. Costco. We take your trash.
Old Greenwich. Greenwich.
Costco, founders of trash.
Costco is such a fake name. Two words, Costco.
I like places that have that weird. Everything has weird names, you know?
You know, in life, everything is weird.
Everything.
Names are weird, right?
okay. I'm going to get off topic once again. I was in Massachusetts this week, and I was wearing an Elizabeth Warren shirt in the state where she is from, and I stopped at a rest area, and this guy was like, Warren, we live near a town named Warren. Our town is this name. And it was like a Western map. I was at like the farmer's market for the rest stop.
Yeah.
And I was like, does he not know? Like, I couldn't tell. Like, what? It's such an indirect way to comment on a T-shirt.
It's like the T-shirt. Biden. Oh, I love Biden my time while I wait for things. Well, see you later.
Anyway, back to the farm. I think that is, it's like sort of an interesting metaphor of like, I think we get so invested in like politics and things like Me Too. And then like you go and talk to the average American and they're like, the what now? I'm just trying to make sure my sick mother doesn't die any second. You know, like they have other stuff going on.
Yeah. I mean, Twitter and social media like completely distorts your sense of reality, because your social circle is totally artificial.
Anyway, go back to this question.
Okay, so one of our kids is getting frisky in their bedroom, and we come home and we walk in on
something. Oh, right. My initial gut reaction is like, for some reason, to just walk in and be like, oops, like whatever I walk into, I'm just like, oh, I didn't know someone was here because it's nighttime, you know, like I just play dumb.
That's absolutely the way everyone would want that handled. I'd make a lot of noise. I'd be like, I wonder if anyone's home. These shoelaces will be the death of me.
Classic dad at a sleepover is like, it's like 9 a.m. and he's like, well, we got to get these girls moving and out of my house. And he's just like banging pans and like making pancakes. He's like, all right, everybody. Like,
this reminds me of late middle school, early high school, in my girlfriend's basement. Something like this is going on, and it's Halloween.
What was going on?
Something like this.
You were talking to someone in a room, and voices were over.
I'll be explicit, not about what was happening, but suddenly we hear a bang, bang, bang in the window, and I jump up, and my belt is undone.
Why would it be undone?
Doesn't matter. But I see out the window, and there is her dad in a scary Halloween mask. He went dig, dig, and he goes, brah! And I go, ah! And we lock eyes. And I sort of like...
That is the most, like... That is the most baller dad move for some like teen boy that's like honing in. I mean, it's terrifying also and controlling, but it's also like so funny.
Well, no, he had no idea. That
Are you sure he had no idea?
Yes. This man was the nicest man.
But what if he's just like the best actor you've ever met?
Oh, no. It was what was very awkward is I had like grabbed my... It was just my belt. I tried to hide it with my hand. And it's like a basement where the windows are up at the high part of the wall. It's like a window well. And so he's bending down, his face down to the window well window, going, rah! And it's a full face mask. I don't know if he could really see, but I was like, ah! And I like pretended to run away scared to like fix my belt.
Oh my God, you're so...
And then later, we stayed down there so long because we didn't want to go up. We finally went up and none of us acknowledged that any of it had happened. I was like, I gotta go, bye.
Wow, that's classic.
My senior year, oh boy, okay.
You have another one of these stories?
Yes. My senior year.
Was it another dad in a mask?
It was a mom.
I would love if they were like sharing this technique. They're like, and then they come up from the basement. You just play dumb. They're too spooked to do anything for the rest of the night.
We're in a basement. My girlfriend's had a basement bedroom.
Wow. Did all your girlfriends have cool basements growing up?
Yeah, they did.
They didn't have a nice mildewy basement.
No.
With a granite floor.
This one was fully furnished. We're under covers. Literally, and we hear mom calls her name. She's like, "Hey, what's going on?" And we're like, "Oh, shoot." And literally just hide under covers. And we hear her open the door and she's like, "Hey, you guys?" And I remember her going, "Oh, it's dark in here."
The Minnesota parents are either just very, very sweet or brilliant.
Oh, this woman.
They're just like walking around and sitting on you like, "Ooh."
She goes, "Well, it's so dark in here.
Glad there's no shenanigans going on down here and there's no one, literally not a soul sitting here. Just can go back up to my business."
And we're both fully just hiding under covers. And my girlfriend then just goes...
You were like 2-year-olds.
She wasn't going away immediately, so she then goes, "Mom will be up in a bit." And she goes, "Oh, okay. All right. Oh, okay." And closed the door. And I was like, that was embarrassing for everyone.
Wait, do you know what I just remembered? One of my best friends, whose wedding I just went to this weekend, her mom... It was so nice to see her mom at the wedding because she's so sweet. And she's also from Minnesota, I think.
Oh, yeah?
And she was like, she's like Lutheran, like sweet, the sweetest woman ever. And I remember we're having a sleepover at my friend's house, and we came, we like got like a text or something. I don't even know if we had phones yet, but like we had arranged with these boys to like leave the house and meet up and like stand in a golf course and not do anything bad. But we like snuck out, and then like there was nothing really happening. It was just like these kids standing around, like no one doing anything. And then we snuck back into her house, and of course her mom's like sitting there at the kitchen table, just like so worried. And she's like, I didn't tell your father, but you scared the shit out of me, or like something like that. Like, just was like so upset about it, but yeah, like just like so kindly did not tell my friend's dad, who would probably still be angry if he found out about it to this day 20 years later.
Boy, you just reminded me, I got home way too late because I was in a parked car with a different girlfriend.
Oh my god.
No cell phones, and I came home and
in a parked car, just hanging out.
Just chit-chatting. And I came in through the garage door, and there was my mom, and she had rage in her eyes. You know, my mom, a very sweet woman.
You're, like, really going full Minnesota now. Your voice is just like...
Oh, that's where my brain is. All these events happened in Minnesota.
My child.
And she goes, where are you? And it scared me so much. I'd never seen my mom so afraid and scared and angry, and I still feel bad about it.
Good.
You know what I just realized is that these stories...
What?
I think maybe I've told you that one. But I don't think we've ever shared these things with each other. This is the topic we don't talk about, which is...
All the sneaking around we did.
Just like ex-girlfriends. I mean, I know it doesn't matter. Like,
you've told me about every single one of your ex-girlfriends in detail.
Well, I didn't tell you about both of those stories.
I'll tell you a story, and I really hope no one involved is listening, because I don't...
Change the name.
Is that I did see my high school ex-boyfriend at this wedding this weekend. Yeah. And to call him an ex-boyfriend feels like a stretch, because high school boyfriends are such a brief amount of time where you are very much like not
I don't know.
Necessarily I always, connected. I don't know.
I always, from seventh grade till now, I date people for years.
Okay. Well, I feel like when I had boyfriends in high school, it was sort of like a very brief thing where it's just like, I don't feel like we actually like each other that much. I guess this is over. Like, it was just like, it was always like very unserious. So this guy was at this wedding. I'm sure he's a perfectly nice guy, but I haven't seen him in like 15 years or something. And he still has the same like scraggly facial hair, but it's growing in a little more now. And he has an eyebrow ring and a ponytail. And I felt like I was in some sort of time loop. Like I was like, we don't belong. We're not supposed to see each other at this point.
This like, is not supposed to happen.
Like, yeah.
You've never been to a high school reunion, have you?
Neither. I have, but it was like, I just went to a really small high school. So it's like when there's not a lot of turnout, it was just sort of like, oh, hi guys. Like, what? It's not like, it's very uneventful. And the people I hung out with were not necessarily like in my grade, you know?
Boy, I have never been, but I'm suddenly very excited to go to my 20th in 2021. Anyway, we walk in on Bryn or Maven, so we'd be very loud.
And, yeah, I'll like go like unfold some clothes or something. I'll like take clothes out of the laundry, pretend I just folded them, walk in there and be like, oh, was just putting away some clothes. What's a, like, I'll be like, oh, hey.
You know what I think I actually would do? I would go and I'd be like, hey, guys, we're going to leave this open. Okay. Thanks. And I'd walk.
That's like very direct. And I don't know.
I mean, I've thought about this. But yeah, I think I
did. Your parents do that to you?
Yeah, like, just the door had to be open.
Okay.
And then you just wait for them to be out of town, and I have my license, and
right,
just come over.
Then
when
all
right
hell breaks loose.
But they did set a standard that scared me And you know, I've had good sex ed in my life and my schools that appropriately scared me into being careful about stuff and blah blah blah. So there was stuff going on, but it was all fine.
I feel like when parents went out of town, like you always had to go to the house of like the person who was like the youngest kid in their family or something. Like their parents had just like given up a little bit, and then that's where you could hang out. But if you didn't have that friend, it was like in my experience, it was very hard to like hang out.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Yeah, once you had a car, it was it was a totally different ballgame.
Anyway,
I had a girlfriend just sneak into the basement of our house when everyone was asleep.
Yeah, because you guys had these like luxury basements, like in your four-story homes or whatever is happening, where your parents are so far away.
That is a privilege. no one can hear you. It also means you never knew where your shoes were. I always put my shoes somewhere. It's my favorite part about not having the money is that I always know where my shoes are now. Anyway, would it be different, Beth? Here's a question: if it was Bryn or Maven? Because emotionally, I definitely have, there is a stereotypical gender thing.
You definitely have a more protective feeling toward Maven. I don't know if I will know the answer to this until I experience it.
And it's a weird thing that's popped up when I just start thinking about my kids as teenagers. And I think about my little girl as a teenager, and without getting into the specifics, I feel more. Bryn, I think with Bryn, it's that like, oh, I understand it. I can relate to it because I was that. But with Maven, it's the, you know, it's you.
Well, you just need to be like the dad in the movie Eighth Grade and just be like nice.
Boy, I still haven't seen it.
You gotta see that. You gotta see Eighth Grade. I just think like if you get visibly protective, like it's one thing to feel that way and be like,
oh yeah,
I don't like in my gut, I don't like my little daughter's growing. You know what I mean? Like that's how we feel when our kids get big. We're like, what's happening? Yeah.
That's as far as it's going to go.
Yeah. But like, you don't want to be putting on the hockey mask and banging on the window. Like
it was a monster mask. He bought it to scare his daughter's boyfriend. Well, Anna, check back. We'll do an episode about this in 14 years, and we'll tell you. Is that a good plan, Beth?
Yeah.
This has been Would You Knows?
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true, and I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Thank God for the limits.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is an NAACP and Webby Award-winning podcast dedicated to all things mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. Here, we have the conversations that help Black women decipher how their past inform who they are today and use that information to decide who they want to be moving forward. We chat about things like how to establish routines that center self-care, what burnout looks and feels like, and defining what aspects of our lives are making us happy and what parts are holding us back. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
This next segment is called Listeners Want to Knows.
All right. We got a lot of great emails this week, and there's so many I want to read, and we'll try to get to them in future weeks. But we're going to start with this one. Hi, Beth and Peter. Greetings from the butt world. That was an episode title recently. My husband and I are big fans of the pod. We have a 3.5-year-old boy and a 10-month-old girl, so your experiences are like a vision of our future. And the future sounds manageable? Sometimes it is. I don't remember what the names of all the segments are called, so I have a question I'll fire under we don't knows. Maybe you do's? Here's my concern. My husband and I are both private, introverted people. I'm worried that as our kids get older, we won't be giving our kids opportunities to build friendships outside of our family because of our natural introversion. Here's some background. My husband and I both work full-time, so our kids are in daycare most of the week, which they've adjusted well to. They also have 3 cousins that live under 3 that live within 5 miles of us, and they live near both sets of grandparents. So I'm not really worried about their basic socialization skills. But I'm not like helping him make friends or setting up play dates or making my son play with other kids in the neighborhood when we're out. For the foreseeable future, any social interaction is fabricated by the parents. Beyond the perfunctory, hi, how are you? I haven't made friendships with any other parents at daycare or neighborhood, and I'm just fine with that. I don't need friends. I just feel like maybe I should try harder for my kids. For example, we live in a neighborhood with lots of kids. Sometimes when we're out in the yard on a weekend, I notice there's a bunch of kids out riding their scooters in someone's driveway or whatever. They're a little older, but not like teenagers. Part of me is like, oh, I should walk over with my kids and have them hang out. But most of me is like, ugh, my daughter will get squirmy. My son will be shy the whole time. The parents will be bored or judgmental. I'll be awkward. We'll stay for 20 minutes. And then what? I guess we'll just awkwardly leave. I can always come up with an excuse for why not to hang out. But I can't figure out if my excuses are legit or just rationalizing my social inertia. Ditto for my husband for all of that. Bottom line, we want to spend time with our family more than we want to hang out with strangers. But will that eventually adversely impact our kids? Are 3, 4, 5-year-olds even supposed to have friends? Would you knows? Thanks for reading. Thanks for recording. And take care of that beautiful fam of yours, Maggie.
Oh, good. This question really resonates with our life. Of just not being able to schedule a lot of play dates and stuff.
It's not that we're not able to. We mostly don't want to.
Well, I think it's a mix of both. Like, sometimes, a lot of times we're literally unavailable when people try to make plans with us. Yeah. We're not reaching out to them like they are to us, which feels kind of shitty, but like we're legit busy. And
but
I
we're
do,
also not those kind of people.
We're not. But I what I'll say is this, like, if it's a weekend where I actually don't have that much to do, which is unfortunately incredibly rare because you're usually working, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
If someone's reaching out to me, I'm going to be like, okay, yeah, I should let my kids hang out with other people and get out of the house. Like, you should push outside of your comfort zone when you have the opportunity. But there's a lot of weekends where I feel like I'm running to the coffee shop to write for like a half a day, if not more. You're going to do a show, then you're teaching, and I have to do like three loads of laundry and like all this stuff. And I just feel like at the end of the day, there was really only like a good 5 hours of the weekend where I could just kind of lay around with the kids and relax. And I don't always want to give that up to a play date with like a random person where I have to like make chit chat. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I don't think that's an unreasonable thing to want to have some time for your family to like calm down from the week.
Yeah, there's a reason you're an introvert. That's not good or bad. It's just true.
And I think it is legitimately a need that a lot of us have. Like, it's like some of us need more sleep than others. Some of us need more alone time. And if you don't listen to your body and your brain, like, you'll burn yourself out and you'll be horrible to be around.
Yes. So there's no one answer to this. But I think, yes, at that age, they're going to go to school and they're going to make a million friends. They're with this group of kids every single day for a year and they build friendships. It's going to take care of itself. They're in daycare. The socialization part of it, to me, is way more important than whether they have besties, whether they're doing one-on-one. Bryn does not do it. He's got one really close friend from daycare, and it's because his parents are really outgoing and they introduce themselves and invite us over. And
His parents are very nice. And I will say, like, we really like hanging out with them.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I never want to go, but then I'm there and I'm so happy I'm there. But
yeah,
it's
the same way I feel about date night with you. I'm like, I have to get out of my bed, and then I'm like, oh, I guess I do like this guy. Okay. Like,
oh my God, she said it.
You can go back and rewind that a few times and just listen to it over and over again.
She likes me. But totally, I don't want to go anywhere, and Bryn is the same way. He doesn't want to go, but we're so happy to be there when we're there.
Yeah, it's fun.
But to this example, I have never and I will never go into a playground and be like, hey, great being a dad, huh? Ugh, it's the best job in the world. So what's your name?
Literally no one is doing that. Who's doing that?
Some dads.
I don't know.
Best job in the world, right? No. I'm picturing
no one's doing that.
This is really confident dad with a big coffee. He's pushing his kid in the swing.
Listeners, if you know one dad who's ever said best job in the world,
and then he
please.
Looks at you and he gives a wink and he goes, best job in the world, am I right? Hi, I'm Chuck. We got a pool. You want to come over? You should come over. Here's my card. If that's not you, if you're not Chuck, don't be Chuck.
Okay.
Maggie, you be you.
But can I quickly say Maven's best friend supposedly is Camilla at daycare. Camilla. But Maven said to me the other day, she was like, Camilla is my best friend, but she bit me today and now she's my bad friend. And she's very serious. She's like, she's my bad friend.
I picked Maven up today and she had three pigtails.
Yeah.
And it was real cute. And oh my God, I picked her up and she had three pigtails. And I was like, Bryn, look at this. And we all laughed. And then he goes, who did this? And Maven said a name, somebody. And he goes, Bryn goes, I don't like that. I don't want anyone touching you, Maven. And I was like, what? Why? He goes, I don't like it when people touch Maven. And I was like, well, that's not for you to say. If Maven likes it, and I was like, if somebody asks and Maven says yes, then it's fine. And so I was like, we had a very brief conversation about consent.
There's a children's book called Consent. I believe that's a full title, and we need to get it. And I think it's going to be like the one, it's going to be like the Bodies one you read tonight where it rarely gets pulled out because it's I haven't read it. This is just what I'm thinking. These instructional books, I feel like, are like the kids stumble back on them every once in a while, and it's like a nice refresher, but it's not like the book they're going to gravitate towards every night.
Yeah, I'm not worried about... I mean, this is a conversation that we will continually have.
No, like, I still, I think they're great books to keep around. Like, it keeps in the rotation. Like, yeah, yeah, I think yeah, it's yeah. good. No, I just right. think it's like, I think if you're reading it, like, some of these books to kids that are more, like, political, you have to be like, okay, this is not necessarily going to be, like, their favorite reading of all time.
It's, I think it's, we have a Harvey Milk book, probably your sister gave to us.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, it's interesting. But boy, a five-year-old does not give a shit about that.
We also have the Kamala Harris one, which does not feel like very grounded. It's doesn't feel super accessible to kids.
No, it's not interesting at all.
it's like the book is like, it feels a little bit like, hey, when I was a kid, I was a good person who wanted good things. And I realized there's good people around. We're good ones. Like,
it's literally propaganda.
Yeah, it's, I don't know.
Who gave us that?
I think your mom did.
No, my mom would not have done that.
I don't know. No. I mean, I don't, I'm not mad at it.
No,
I
no, just, no, it's fine. It's, I'm not mad at the book. I'm just like, a kid doesn't care about this. This is for adults.
I think, like, sometimes you get a political figure who does a kid's book like that, and it's, like, great. Like, the publisher, I get, like, you never really know what's going to click, and, like, it's...
Yeah.
That one's just not really resonating for me.
No. So, I'm going to say, Maggie, it doesn't matter. You're doing great. You're doing fine. The way you formatted your email... lets me know that you've got everything covered. Can I just say, I didn't say this, but there's these section headings, okay, that are the beginning of paragraphs. They're in bold, and they're followed by a colon. Here's my concern, colon. It's that one's in bold. The next paragraph. Here's some background, colon. And then the last one, bottom line. And I can just tell that... you're fun. You're interesting.
You're describing the formatting of her email? Wait, what is...
Yes. It paints a picture of a person because she's self-aware and it's a funny email, but it's also really... it's laid out really well. It reminds... you know, she's introverted and focused and she has her world put together in a way that works. And she has her family. And that's all they want. And that's all they need. And that's okay. You're not supposed to do it the same way everyone else does it. I like her.
I think, you know, everyone should gravitate towards what they like. And sometimes you end up with kids who don't know how to throw or hit a ball. And, like, society will be fine without that, you know?
Because,
like,
they're going to build Legos faster than everyone else. They'll win another way.
Yeah. And then you can be like, oh, God, the Lego family just arrived. Here they come.
You have any Legos here? Don't worry, we brought her around. Who's got the timer?
We should bring Legos to restaurants now that I think about it. It'll probably fall under the table.
It's true. I was the one dad that ripped the box into a way that made it so all the pieces could be in it so you wouldn't drop any. I was ready.
What are you talking about? The party?
At the party. They were doing Legos outside. I was like, we're going to lose pieces.
Oh, it's like actual Lego sets?
Yeah, these like tiny little boxes. So I ripped the box into a way that you could sort through it and keep the pieces in
the
box.
You were like, here we go. I will say... this is something like my mom is very proud of, although I don't think it was her idea. My aunt gave us these mats for like when kids do art projects and painting and stuff. And they're literally what is this material? Like neoprene, not neoprene. It's like rubber, but like it's a mat that's designed to go under dog bowls or like pet food bowls that she bought at a pet food store. And she was like, I figure if animals can lick off of them, they're safe for kids. And then they're actually like the perfect little mat if your kid is doing like
Legos,
art project where they might be like spilling paint and stuff, or like dumping out a bunch of Legos or like light bright pieces.
Just a placemat with a ridge.
Yeah, a placemat with a ridge. It's like perfect.
Perfect for Legos. You're not losing anything.
Yeah.
Well, friends. This has been great. This has been another episode of We Know's Parenting. We're wrapping it up. If you would like to send us an email, a Would You Know scenario, a question, advice, a story, you can email us at weknowspod@gmail.com, or you can call and leave us a voicemail on our phone number that Beth is looking up right now because we have not memorized it. And the number is
347-384-7396.
Twitter, Instagram, Facebook.
Rate, review, subscribe.
Until next time, my babies.
Bye.
Bye.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
Well, how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is your space to explore mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.